Let's look again tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse number 1. Appreciate the songs of worship tonight. That's our desire, isn't it? To praise our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we're here tonight. And may the Lord enable us to do so. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. I want us to spend a few minutes tonight considering the second statement in verse 1. We spent last Wednesday night and looked at the first statement in verse 1. But tonight I want to think of this statement, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Now I feel it necessary to do my very best before I get to that statement to make as clear as I possibly can that this statement applies only to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those, as we saw last week, who have been given the name, the Lord, our righteousness. This statement is not true for all in this world. It's for those who have the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness. Those who have been, as the scripture says, accepted. Where? In the Beloved. Those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for all their righteousness, for all their salvation. Those who trust Him as their representative, that when He walked in this world, He was walking and living a perfect righteous life for us. And that when He died upon the cross, it was to pay for our sins. That's who this statement applies for. It's those who God, for reasons known only to Himself, chose in eternity past. Chosen in Christ. Those who, for reasons known only to Him, He made objects of His grace. Isn't that something to think about? That God would choose to make us objects of His grace. And as proof that we are objects of His grace, in time, He's called us. This statement is only true for those who have been called. Who've been called to the Spirit of God, called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, in his salutation to them, he said this. He said he was writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, that is, those who have been set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been called, that's who this verse applies to. And so I have to ask the question tonight, have you been called? Have you been called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't think about the person sitting next to you. I must think of myself. Have I been called? Have I been called? And have I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who are those who call? Those who've been called. We're called, so we call. Lord, be merciful to us, the sinners. To give us, this verse can give us a lot of comfort and a lot of courage in this ever-changing world, but it's only for those of us here who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not in Christ tonight, if you tonight are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I beseech you. What does that mean, beseech you? I plead with you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I believe that the Lord is near tonight. Amen. He said that where two or three are gathered in His name, that He would be in our midst. I believe that the Lord is near tonight. Seek the Lord while He may be found. This is a night when the Lord can be found. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We have to give up our thoughts about ourselves and our thoughts about God. Our thoughts that we are good enough to be able to come to God on our own and be received. No, we must forsake those thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found tonight. That's our desire, isn't it? For all of us, for each other, that we would seek the Lord tonight. Paul said, we then, as workers together with him, that is, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we then, as workers together with him, we beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What does that mean, to receive the grace of God in vain? It's talking about to hear the preaching of the gospel of God's grace in vain. To hear it, but not to call. To hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not to come to him. You know, it's possible to come to service after service after service and never call upon the name of the Lord. I'm sure that it's happened to many, many upon this earth. May that not be true for us. Let us seek the Lord tonight while he can be found. For he saith, this is what God has said. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tonight is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. Then and then only will this statement be true for you and for me, if we are in Christ. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's removed the sting of death. The sting of death is sin. And he's removed that sting of death so that the day of death may be better than the day of our birth. But that is only for those who are in Christ, for those that he died for those who God in his mercy calls, for those of us who he's called and call upon him. He's removed that sting of death. Otherwise, something that I don't like to even begin to think about, much less preach about, but we must, if we're going to be faithful to God's Word. God's Word teaches that if we leave this world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall be cast away into everlasting darkness, that we will be cast away from the glory of God. And if it's possible to describe it even worse, we will be cast away from all that is good and holy and all love, all righteousness, to be what an awful state, to spend eternity separated from God. See, the only good there is God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. And that person did not see him as God. And there's none good but God. And if we're separated from him, we're separated from all that is good. That's worse than to think of being put into everlasting darkness, or in, it's described as the lake of fire and all these horrible, the very worst thing is to be separated from God. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ bore upon the cross for his people. That separation, when he cried out to his Father, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? The agony of separation. It's a long way around to get to this to this statement in this verse. But it's so important, because any funeral you go to, everybody will always say, well, that person's in a better place. You know, better is the day of a person's death than of their birth. No, that's not true for everyone. That's not what God's Word teaches. And friends, it doesn't matter if that's what we would desire or not. That's not God's way. That's not what he's declared. So you might be asking yourself, or saying to yourself, you know, that statement, that sounds very strange. It does kind of sound strange, doesn't it, when you read it? That the day of our death would be better than the day of our birth. That's not the way we think, is it? And you might be asking yourself, I hope so. I hope that you're still with me. And you're asking yourself, how can that be? How can it be possible that the day of my death as a believer will be better than the day of my birth? And that's what I want us to spend just a very few minutes tonight thinking about. And I have a few reasons that I want to share with you as to why that's the case. And I'm sure these are not original with me. I probably heard our pastor, he preached through Ecclesiastes a few years ago. I probably heard them from him or reading something somewhere. They're not original, but they're still true. And may the Lord bless them. Our death day is better than our birthday as a believer, because about our day of birth, there hangs a lot of uncertainty. There's much uncertainty that surrounds the birth of any person into this world. Not uncertain as far as God's concerned, but as far as we're concerned, what we know about what that infant's life will be like. There's a lot of uncertainty that surrounds it. And you know, times of the birth of a baby are usually very, very joyous times. Not always, but they're wonderful times, aren't they? They're times of celebration and times of joy. And we're so thankful tonight, aren't we, that God in His mercy has given our church multi-generations. I've had the opportunity to preach at a few churches over the years, and I've preached at some churches where all that were left was an older generation. And I'm in that older generation now. And thank God for the older generation. But God blesses the church so much when you see multiple generations. That's the future, isn't it, of a church. We have several young people here, and we thank God and we praise God that He's given us and continues to bless our church with children. May God save them all, and may He keep His hand upon them, and may this church flourish for many, many years to come. But what lies ahead for that beautiful, fresh-born baby? Nobody knows. Nobody in this world knows. God knows. We know that if God gives them many years of life, they're most likely going to have a lot of trouble and a lot of sorrow. The Scripture says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. That's true of everybody. Very few, if any, people ever live through this world without facing a lot of trouble and sorrow and hurt. That's the curse of sin that's upon this earth. But when the saint dies, when the believer dies, they are once and forever done with trouble and sorrow and pain. Forever done with it. Look at a passage with me. Look at Revelation chapter 7, if you would. Revelation chapter 7. When the believer leaves this world, all uncertainty is done with. And we are done with forever with trouble, sorrow, and pain. Revelation 7, verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You see, they're clothed with white robes, that righteousness of the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, all of those that are in heaven came out of great tribulation. That's this world. It's the world of great tribulation. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. When I read that verse, those verses there in Revelation chapter 7, I can enter in a little bit into why the day of the death of the believer is better than his day of birth or her day of birth. Here's the second reason. Our death day is better than all the happy days that God in His mercy gives us in this world. And you know, it's only of God's mercy that we have any happy days in this world. We sure don't deserve any. We don't deserve not even one single day, but God is merciful and God gives many in this world, most in this world. He gives them some happy days, believers and unbelievers. Why? Because God is a merciful God. And days of material gain can be happy days. Our God, He gives us many good things to enjoy in this world. Well, isn't that your testimony tonight? God's given me so many good things to enjoy in this world, in my pilgrimage in this world. But worldly gain cannot, and it will not, give our souls peace and joy and comfort and hope. Yes, they're definitely better than days of want, but they cannot satisfy our soul. We've seen that several times the last few weeks and here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon lists anything and everything that he can think about and stamps upon all of it vanity, emptiness. Emptiness how? In that it cannot satisfy our souls. The Son of God in prophecy said concerning His Father's house. Now listen, here's the distinction. Vanity. Now hear what the Lord in prophecy, the Lord Jesus says about His Father's house. He says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. You're going to show me the way of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. Nothing in this world can give our souls joy. But in the presence of God is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You see, the happy days that the believer enters into at death are so much greater than anything that we can ever experience in this world. Have you ever had fullness of joy in this world? Have you? I don't believe you have. Why? Because that's only found in our Father's home. It's not found in this world. It's for this reason that the Apostle Paul said, he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Yeah, Paul, but won't you leave everything that you've worked so hard to accumulate in this life? Oh, he says, to die is gain. It's gain. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Can we enter into that by faith tonight? To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And you know, days of health can be very happy days, but they're fleeting days. We could feel strong and healthy tonight. We may not be able to get out of bed tomorrow. Health in this world is a blessing, and it's a great thing to have, but it's fleeting. But God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, He makes all things new. You see, there's no sickness in heaven. there's no sickness. And since there's no sickness, there's no death. And there's no sickness and there's no death because there's no sin. Those things are passed away. Truly, the day of one's death for the believer is better than the day of our birth. Now, I need to move forward here quickly. Our day of death shall be better than our day of birth because in that instant that we breathe our last upon this earth, listen to this, we're going to be done with our frail, imperfect worship of God. That very instant that we breathe our last breath upon this earth, we're going to be done with that frail, imperfect worship of God. Don't you look forward to that? I know that you have a desire to worship God. That's why you've come tonight. But you're just like me. We come with a desire to worship and our mind is running here and there. And I may be trying to preach and trying to keep my mind focused. It's our worship. It's imperfect at best, at its best state. At its very best state, it's sinful. But when we breathe our last upon this earth and we open our eyes in our Father's house, we'll be done with that. Our worship is going to be perfect. Hey, we can't even imagine that, can we? I can't. But I know it's true. You know, when we cry, "Worthy is the Lamb," as we read about, when we cry, "Worthy is the Lamb," we're going to really mean it. And we're going to mean it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being. We're going to worship God perfectly. I would like to worship Him perfectly now, but I confess, I cannot. I can't even worship Him in the least bit like I want to. But when I leave this world, the day of my death will be better than the day of my birth because I'm going to be able to worship God perfectly. And you, believer, this message is for you. Don't we struggle to worship in this world? Aren't you thankful that when we read about that next world, there's no struggle of worshiping? Everyone falls down before the throne and before the Lamb. Everyone that's there. Fourthly, the day of a believer's death is better than the day of our birth, for it's the day that we're going to enter into our full and uninterrupted rest in Christ. Let me repeat that again. The day of our death is the day, believer, when we enter into our full and uninterrupted rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God in His mercy gives new life to a sinner, the new birth, in His grace and mercy, we're born again. He gives us the ability to trust, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest in Him. We rest from our works, don't we? We rest from trying to find a way on our own to please God and to be accepted through our works. Thank God for that. But our rest isn't perfect, is it? Our Savior's perfect. We have a perfect Sabbath, but we're imperfect. And we're not able to rest in Him perfectly. And Our rest is interrupted at times. We begin to look around us and we begin to look in us. Oh my. That's the worst. As bad as things are around us, they're even worse within us, aren't they? For out of the heart proceed all of these sinful things. And you know, the one thing that we cannot change, it's our heart. Only God can give a new heart. But that old heart is still with us, isn't it? The old man. It's still with us. And so our rest is interrupted. And we get down as believers and we get dejected and we get depressed. Maybe this doesn't happen to you. I'm speaking for all I can preach is what I've experienced. I know what it is to get down and dejected and depressed spiritually because of my failure. But then, like the psalmist, we cry out, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for God has dealt bountifully with you." God has undertaken to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He undertook to live for us and to die for us. And we should be able to rest. And we do at times rest in part, but at death we rest forever in Christ. Fifthly, and I'm almost done, the day of the child of God's death is better than the day of our birth, because at death we're going to be done forever. We're going to be done with forever, with all failure, with all disappointment, and with all regret. Oh, that's some ugly baggage. Isn't that ugly baggage? I hate carrying that baggage around with me. The baggage of failure and disappointment and regret. Failure of myself, disappointment in myself, and regret for so many things that I should have done better. Any of y'all ever have any problems with that? I'm sure you do, because I'm speaking to sinners, just like me. But the Scripture says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Boy, you look at us now, it sure doesn't appear. We don't look to those around us, perhaps to ourselves. We don't look like sons or daughters of God. But we are today. Now are we the sons of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And how is He? Perfect. Perfect. No failure. No disappointment. No regret. I was thinking this past week of something I wish I would have said last week. The Lord Jesus, as the perfect servant of Jehovah. You know, the Scripture, He said of Himself, "I delight to do Thy will, O God." Not that He just did it. Not that He just bore it. No, He delighted in it. He loved to do God's will. That's all that God will accept. And that's what our Savior did for us. And lastly, turn to this passage and I'll close. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And truly, this is not an exhaustive study of all the reasons why the death of a believer is better than the day of our birth. But I think this is at least a taste of why we read that in that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. Read the first 8 verses and we'll be finished. "For we know, believers, may God give us the grace and the faith to speak like Paul tonight, to leave here and to be able to say, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed." It's not that the believer desires his day of death. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's my sixth and final reason as to why the death of the believer, the day of the death of the believer is better than the day of our birth. Why? Because in that instant we will be present with the Lord. Isn't that what it says? "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." Truly, the day of the death of a believer is better than the day of our birth. And it's important that we remember, it says for the believer. It doesn't say for those who the believer leaves behind in this world. It doesn't say that. It's the day of the death, for the day of the death of the believer. For those who say goodbye to that believer who leaves, oh no, it's not better than the day. That's a horrible day, isn't it? It's a day of sadness and sorrow, and we shouldn't kid ourselves that it's not, and it won't be. But for that child of God that we love, that we've lost, they haven't lost anything. It's been gain. May the Lord bless His word. Brother Bill, if you would, let's be dismissed in a song tonight.